We are Rogue Media Sports.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Your Space Coast vacation is preparing for liftoff. Start counting down now. 10, 9, 8, 7. It's time for a beach vacay that feels like heaven. 6, 5, 4. Come explore Melbourne and the beaches. 3, 2, 1. It's time for some rocket-filled fun. Count down to your best beach vacation ever on Florida's Space Coast. Launch your planning now at visitspacecoast.com.
It is the Doomsday Podcast, and it's with heavy hearts. I mean, we thought maybe this would be a deep run. Ed Werder joining us. We've been together out at AT&T Stadium, and Ed's been out there since 8 a.m., There was some weather that was moving in. It was freezing cold, and we thought the best way would be to abandon our post. And so now we've retreated back to our homes as we tape tonight's last podcast of the season. And Ed, pull back the curtain a little bit. You and I. I generally get right behind Jerry. Tonight I got distracted or something, and so you and I were both a little bit separated from him, although you have the ESPN people who have the long boom mic who can get in there and get you your great audio. Well, you and I both kind of pursued Jerry, then you got a question in. I would describe Jerry, and of course there was just a huge amount of people around him, as still in a bit of a state of shock. He was nice. He was polite in all that. I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't a gracious loser. I mean, in fact, he had a couple of funny lines, Ed, about, and I think even in response to you, when you basically were like, hey, what's the process? Like, nobody, we were a little bit away from him, and nobody would just simply say, hey, do you envision bringing Mike back? It was like everybody just kept trying to soft shoe into it. And so When you said, what's this process going to be? His answer was something along the lines, Ed, of, well, we have had a lot of these playoff losses, so I know how to do this.
I've been through this a few times in my 30-plus years of owning this franchise. I think that, you know, he was kind of very rational and certainly not emotional, and I think that's because he really had 4 hours to process this because – The game was a blowout from the very start. And so he had a lot of time in his suite as he watched the Cowboys clumsily try to find their way back into the game, or at least reach a point where, you know, they had some statistical significant success for Dak Prescott in a bunch of empty stats. But I was told by people who were in the owner's suite that he was at the time upset that he was second guessing everything, that all week long he had really believed that things had fallen just right for this team to steal the second seed unexpectedly with Philadelphia's collapse, put themselves in a chance where they've been dominant at home up against an inexperienced playoff team in the Packers, the first time starting quarterback in the postseason. The Cowboys obviously had a prolific offense, Dak Prescott playing, you know, the best football of his career, great special teams, leads the league in blocks, defense that creates more turnovers and defensive touchdowns than any team in football. It was all set up. And then they blew it. And they blew it fast. I mean, I talked to Matt LaFleur earlier in the week, and he said, hey, look, people think that we're satisfied because – we weren't supposed to maybe do this. We weren't supposed to, in Jordan Love's first year as a starting quarterback, make it to the playoffs. You know, all the dead cap money from Aaron Rodgers being traded, this wasn't supposed to happen, and we're supposed to be satisfied. He says, we're not satisfied. We're young. He said, but we're eager, and we love proving people wrong. And he said, I guarantee you one thing. We're going to go out there in this game, and we're going to take our swing. And they knocked the Cowboys out from the very start. He took the ball, won the coin toss, took the ball, drove the length of the field, scored, played from ahead the whole game. Cowboys never led in the game. Last time the Cowboys never led in a home game, guess what it was? When they lost to the 49ers in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Wow.
So just a complete collapse, and one that even was more astonishing, both in the scope of the failure and the inability to take advantage of the opportunity, I think, than all of the other McCarthy postseason losses. I mean, here are the terms that I think you could put this in. Listen to this. This is, like I said, maybe the most inglorious playoff exit in franchise history. 16-point home loss. They were down by 32. The Cowboys are the first team in NFL history to win 12 games in three seasons, McCarthy winning, becoming the first Cowboys coach to win 12 games 3 years in a row, and fail to make the conference championship game in any of those seasons. This is the sixth time in the Cowboys' history they've won 12 games in the regular season and failed to win a single playoff game, and three of those are with this head coach and this starting quarterback. Mike McCarthy's 1-3 in his playoff career in Dallas. Dak Prescott's 2-5 as a Cowboys playoff starter. So Jerry's got a lot of big decisions to make.
He does, and I mean, I guess they can make some decision. They got to address Dak, but I think we all know what's going to happen there. And yet Dak was up there, and let's talk about that here in a minute, because Ed, that was an interesting response from Dak, and it was nice that he stuck up for his head coach. But it was somewhat admirable, but still it was interesting, and he just did not honestly have much to add on how he came out and played that poorly. Stephen Simcox, our fearless producer, sir, please play the music. It is the Doomsday Podcast, and it's a wild just trying to get our arms around this and think about what this all means. It could mean the end of the Mike McCarthy era in Dallas. I would say, Ed, just to build on what we were just talking about, that while Jerry was, as you said, rational and you know, wasn't, I think the quarterback used the word shocked and stunned. I think
Jerry said it was beyond his comprehension.
Yeah.
His most painful loss, which I think is probably an overstatement, but in the moment I could understand him characterizing it that way.
Yeah, I mean, as it started to unfold, I think you made a good point. If they had lost at the gun or something, maybe everybody would have been in a state of shock. The shock was more about, like, just how poorly they played. And
across the board.
Yeah, and again, I saw a couple of good jokes on, like, Dan Quinn. Somebody had one, Ed. It was like Dan Quinn game planning. I think it was the guy from, ESPN. It was like Dan Quinn putting together his game plan, and it had him looking at Seattle real estate. It had pictures of Seattle real estate this week or something. I mean, like, it was bizarre. Like, whatever they were trying to do, and it wasn't like, oh man, you know, he just threaded the needle on some throws. Jordan Love, who was great in this game, 16 for 21 for, I think, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns. Ed, when he would, it'd be like third down, and he would go out of the pocket, which, by the way, he was supposed to be one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL this year in throwing out of the pocket. He was almost perfect out of the pocket against the Cowboys. And he would just hurl it 30 yards down the middle of the field and find this Dobbs. I mean, Ed, I had visions of, like, Brooks and Antonio Freeman and All those old Sharp, all those old great Packers receivers. We don't even know these guys. Like Dobbs.
They're all first and second year receivers. He threw 31 touchdown passes this year to first and second year receivers, and three touchdown passes tonight, all to first and second year receivers. And the Cowboys, like, yeah, to your point, I mean, did Micah Parsons even play in the game? I guess he drew two holding calls, the first of which they didn't even need because they'd finally gotten off the field. But, you know, Dan Quinn, I think, really changed his game plan and his tendencies going into this game. And, you know, they've been a team that's heavy man-to-man. They play man at 64% of their defensive snaps this year, and that was like the second highest in the NFL. But in this game, it seemed like they played a lot of zone, and that to me would explain why there were so many open receivers, communication breakdowns. You know, I just don't think these guys are used to playing this way. In the running game, I think they foolishly got themselves trapped into this playing dime defense with Damone Clark and Marquise Bell as linebackers after losing Leighton Vander Esch against the 49ers in week 5 or 6. And they never went and got a linebacker who had linebacker size and skill set. And so that always left them vulnerable to the run. And we saw Aaron Jones take great advantage of that in this game tonight. I think he's got 9 rushing touchdowns in 4 games against the Cowboys, some preposterous number like that. But yeah, I mean, so what's Jerry thinking now the 40 points, the 42 points they gave up was the most the Cowboys have given up in playoff history. So Dan Quinn didn't acquit himself well. He didn't build his resume for Jerry to say, hey, let's move on from Mike McCarthy, but let's keep the culture on one side of the ball and let's promote Dan Quinn. You know, I don't want to lose him to someone else. Well, now he might not lose him to someone else. I know Dan Quinn has Zoom calls scheduled for several teams this week, starting on Tuesday. But are you going to be able to sell Dan Quinn to your fan base at this point? The Cowboys' defense has not been the same for the last 6 weeks of the season. They didn't create turnovers. Look, we talk about McCarthy being 1-3 in Dallas in the playoffs. Well, guess what? In 3 of the 4 losses, or in 3 of the 4 games, the Cowboys got 0 takeaways. 0. And tonight was one of them.
Wow.
So as Jerry Jones goes through the process this week, and I assume at some point, you know, after a few days, he'll meet with the coaches, he'll get a sense, you know, for what he wants to do and what direction he wants to go. But can they really run it back? Like, you watch that game. I just watched the end of the Lions beating the Rams, and the Cowboys beat both of those teams during the season, and they didn't look anything like either one of them in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
How can, like, I just don't see how you can run it back with what just happened. All the advantages they had. Highest scoring team in the league, 16 game winning streak at home, longest in the league. Most all pros. Packers had not one pro bowler. Forget all pros. And you get beat like that. And it was way worse than the scoreboard, as we all know.
Yeah.
They were down by 32 points, which is the most they've ever lost a playoff game by in their history. This is one of the most spectacular losses in franchise history.
Given, and Ed, it almost makes you feel silly, doesn't it, when we spent so much time last week talking about this unbelievable path. Oh, my gosh, you got this great home team. You're the number 2 seed. You got 2 home games, and then it's the conference title game. And yet they go out there, and in a lot of ways, at least like the losses to San Francisco, and to a certain extent even when they went out that time to L.A. in recent years, that was 2017, so that was after the 2016 season. Like, those were big-time teams. This is a team this year that at one point was like 3-6, kind of backdoored its way into the playoffs, got hot. But, I mean, to your point, first-year quarterback, I mean, like, how can you it's like because of they're the Cowboys and because of the way they negotiate, like, Dak still has them over a barrel, okay? he's still going to end up, because of the cap and everything, getting some huge money and a huge extension. And yet,
well, I don't know. I mean, if Jerry's honest with himself, he's got to really look hard at the head coach, and he's got to look hard at his starting quarterback, and maybe he wonders. I mean, I admire Dak. I love the way he plays the game. I love his mentality. I like the way he engages with us, and I think he is viewed as a great leader and has this, you know, incredible work ethic. But you got to be rational about it and look at it and say, are we willing to pay him $60 million when 8 years into his career, these are the results? Like, shouldn't we know by now, after 8 years and 5 playoff appearances, shouldn't we know that he's for sure the guy to end this 28 years of not reaching a championship game?
No.
Can you say that without a doubt? I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. You know, we'll have Stretch weigh in. I think he's probably been the most critical of anybody of Dak. And quite honestly, he looks pretty good today because Dak went out and just, you know. I mean, let's break it down for a second. Ed throws the pick six, puts them completely out of the game, right? That's 27-0. Okay, at that point, it's just like, okay, you really don't have any chance. They did score and got the ball to start the second half, and you thought maybe they could climb back in. The other interception, I mean, that one was horrible because he just didn't see the guy at all. I mean, it was a great, the guy had a great job, but you know what, Ed? He was locked in on CD, and the guy read it all the way. He never tried, you know, he never looked anywhere else. And they had him dead to rights. And it got so bad in there, Ed. Where I was sitting in the press box, you know, when you heard that announcement of there's no outburst, you know, a reminder, there's no outburst. Well, that was all the Green Bay officials. They were sitting in front of me going crazy, like after that pick six. And they had to announce to stop cheering in the press box, okay? And then the other one before that was just throws it behind the receiver. I mean, how many times have we seen him do this in these playoff games? So I'm with you, but I don't at all think that Jerry – I don't think Jerry can even let himself think about this. I think Jerry may make a change at head coach, but I think because of everything they've invested with Dak, he's going to rally the troops and once again try to say, this is our guy, and this guy gives us the best chance to win a Super Bowl.
Well,
but
man,
I'm with you.
Maybe he does, and you can make a case for that, I think. And you can especially, from Jerry's experience, you know, in all the years after Troy Aikman until they lucked into undrafted Tony Romo and then lucked again into Dak Prescott in the fourth round, you know, you can certainly understand Jerry's quarterback experience that he might be reluctant to go into a season and not feel for sure that he has a quarterback who's at least capable of getting you into the playoffs. He's capable of winning division championships and getting you into the playoffs. Dak is without a doubt capable of that. He's done it 5 times in 8 years, but Trey Lance is a new figure in the whole equation. And I know for a fact that Jerry and Steven are tired of getting beat in Dak Prescott's contract negotiations, and maybe they just want leverage to get a more favorable deal, but it sure seems like he has an awful lot of leverage because he has a no-trade clause, can't be franchise tagged. I mean, for the most part, you're right. Unless they just decide, they look at this and go, that's it. You know, we've had too many good teams, and this is the result. We just, like, we should move on. It's hard to envision him doing that for the reason I said, which is what happened to him after he kind of forced Troy Aikman into retiring before Aikman wanted to go, using his injury history. But I agree it'll be hard for him to do that. And you know what? With McCarthy, his situation is set up so that he's just finished the fourth year of a 5-year deal. So this would be a natural point for an owner, any owner, to look at his head coach and say, okay, do I want to extend this deal? And really, before tonight, I thought there's no way Mike McCarthy is going to get fired. And now you look at it like, well, it's a fourth year of a five-year contract. You got Jim Harbaugh's out there, Mike Vrabel's out there, Bill Belichick's out there. I don't think all of those guys are great candidates, and maybe Jerry has, or Steven or Will has his eye on somebody else. I don't know that you can promote Dan Quinn, like I said, because of what happened today. But I think it's natural that they could, you know, look at that. And maybe he decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to punish him for this, and I'm not going to commit to him for more than one more year. I'm going to do what I did twice to Jason Garrett, and I'm going to make him coach the last year of his contract. It's uncommon because it can adversely affect, you know, free agency and so forth. But Jerry also has explained when he's done that in the past to Jason Garrett that, hey, you know what? It puts the pressure on him. I'm going to get his best because he's coaching for his life now. And and maybe that'll be the solution he lands on.
Well, he loved doing it to Garrett. And he loved doing it to Wade that one year. It was like they, whatever extension they gave Wade, they made it very clear, this is not a long extension. Like, I want to hold his feet to the fire. Now, with a lot of veteran coaches like Wade, it just ends up annoying them more than anything. I don't know that it made him great or made him try that much harder, and I don't think it necessarily worked. I mean, I think today, I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of blame to go around. I mean, nobody wants Quinn as the head coach right now. And I mean, think how great he's been for most. I mean, we were just showing graphics last week or the week before, Ed, that were like astounding, like compared to the people that were here before, the amount of takeaways and the scoring on the defense, the sacks. I mean, it's incredible what Dan Quinn's accomplished. So part of me is like, well, are we really going to let this one game, you know, change? And again, you're right. They haven't been great for a few weeks now. But still, overall, he's been a great defensive coordinator. Overall, you know, Mike McCarthy's won a ton of ball games. And he wins 12 games every year. But it's, you know what I thought about, Ed?
It doesn't get you anything you have at the end of the year. Disappointment, profound disappointment now.
Yeah, I thought about, like, his old mentor, Marty Schottenheimer. And now Marty would occasionally get to, I think, AFC title games. And he certainly, even with, he had success at a couple of places, obviously. But I was just thinking about that. Like, McCarthy's won that Super Bowl. You know, like Ron Rivera went to a Super Bowl. Obviously, he's bottomed out, and so he's out of a job in Washington. McCarthy just, it does feel like, I think that's the thing for our listeners and Cowboys fans, is it's hard to envision or see a different result. Like, if we're rational about it, we'd have to admit that throughout much of this season, McCarthy's play calling and all the touchdowns and the great year that Dak had, like, he deserves a lot of credit for that. But
and Dak gave him credit for that after the season or tonight after the game. And that's the comment you were alluding to earlier. He was asked about McCarthy and all the speculation about McCarthy's career. And Dak said, he's been amazing. I don't know how there can be questions about his status, but I understand the business. And in that case, then there should be questions about me as well, honestly. I mean, that guy, I've had the season I've had because of him. This team has had the season they've had because of him. And I understand it's about winning the Super Bowl, and that's the standard of the league, and damn sure the standard of this place. I get it, but add me to that list in this case. And Dak went on to describe himself as stunned, and, you know, he said, I sucked. And McCarthy, I thought, was amazingly truthful when he was asked about Dak, and he said, you know, you want to get your quarterback into a place where he's comfortable in the game, and that took too long. in a wild understatement, he did criticize Dak, and Dak, to his enormous credit, as you said, did stick up for his head coach, whether Whether that matters now, I don't know. I had said before, one of the reasons I thought sure McCarthy was safe was because he did take over for Kellen Moore, who was a statistical success, but failed in the playoffs, which now describes McCarthy as well. You know, they did have the number one highest scoring offense in football with both. And Dak, you know, had his best year ever. And CeeDee Lamb has become one of the dominant receivers in football. Both, you know, owe their success to McCarthy and his play calling and the offensive changes he made in the system. But here we are again. And I don't know now if, you know, Jerry's of a mind to make a change and starts talking about it with Dak, whether Dak standing up for McCarthy and resisting change would make a difference to Jerry. Because Dak didn't do anything. Like, Dak's best way to support McCarthy was to have a great game and win the two home games at the very least and then be competitive against the 49ers in a presumed NFC championship game, and he didn't do that.
I mean, an appearance in the NFC title game would have been huge extensions for everybody.
Right.
And everybody would have been pleased to see Dak get his $55 million a year or whatever it is. I mean, it's – now, again, it's the Cowboys and it's Dak. And we even saw it with Romo at times. It doesn't matter. Like, Romo, the maddest – you know, one of the maddest – and I've made Romo mad a lot. But one of the maddest times he was with me was some column I wrote after Flacco won that Super Bowl for the Ravens. And I said, hey, whatever the deal Flacco got, which was a huge deal at the time, I'm like, Romo's going to get a better deal. He's going to get the same deal because that's how Jerry deal. I mean, like, he's going to get the Super Bowl winning deal. So these Cowboys quarterbacks, and Dak gets the same benefit of the doubt. I forget however I wrote that thing, but, man, I just remember getting a text, and it was kind of like almost like a breakup. Like, this is the last we're going to talk to each other. We've talked since then, but anyway, Ed, this was a we need to get to stretch here. I do want to say, Ed, you know, let's thank all our partners this year. Hudson Financial Group's been great. We'll talk a little bit more about them in a little bit. I want to say Marable Homes. They just keep getting better and better. I mean, it's exploded. Lake Highlands, the Park Cities area, Preston Hollow. Now out on Cedar Creek Lake, people are building a lot of beautiful homes out there. Timeless, classic, approachable luxury homes. And a lot of our great listeners have inquired about them and gone to the website. It's Marable Homes, M-A-R-A-B-L-E, M-A-R-A-B-L-E, Marable Homes. That's Blake Marable and Amy Marable, but what a tremendous group, and we've loved having them. Now, Ed and I have a little more to say, but next it is time for our stretch plays, and he's about as angry as you might imagine. The F's, well, not F-bombs, but the F's will be handed out. Again, I think he's been as critical of Dak as anyone, and so he doesn't hold anything back tonight. It is our visit with former Cowboys scout and coach Glenn Stretch Smith. Oh, it is Glenn Stretch Smith. Former Cowboys coach and scout on the Doomsday Podcast, his weekly visit. And people were already, even at halftime, they were like, oh, my gosh, what's Stretch going to do? What's Stretch going to say? And Stretch, I got to say, I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can go. And you'll be on TV later tonight. We're taping this before your TV appearance, but you can always watch Stretch on WFAA Channel 8 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the ABC affiliate, which is back on. They finally made a deal. So Channel 8, a lot of us that haven't been able to get it can get it now. I think Stretch had a hand in maybe getting that done. Stretch, just a crushing loss, the final score. You know, they scored some at the end to maybe make it look a little better than it was. It was an absolute, you know, tail-kicking that occurred. And the quarterback in the first half, let's start with the quarterback, because I think you've been, you know, some people say, oh, he's too hard on Dak or whatever, but you've been very consistent. And I think one of the things you've said is, hey, let's see him do it in a signature game. And here we are after another playoff game, and, you know, he was bad, and he threw a pick six that pretty much ended any hopes of the game, put him down 27-0, and he threw another one down there, and then they were able to go cash in on that. Stretch, I would just say this was, of all these Dak, you know, playoff performances, and he's now 2-5 in the playoffs, this may have been the worst.
Well, again, Matt, it's you know, when you're doing it from an analytical standpoint, when you're looking at, and I don't have the call sheet. I'm looking at what I think my eyes see, and then I'm also saying we only draw from our own point of reference for what we know is very good. And be it fair or unfair to Dak Prescott, my point of reference was Troy Aikman. And I know then everybody says, well, Troy Aikman was the first pick, and Troy Aikman's a Hall of Famer. And Troy, yeah, that's right. And so if that's your measuring stick at the high end, then what you have to do from an analytical standpoint is then fit guys in underneath that. You have a guy that's this deep into his career. There's a 6 years, can't read, doesn't understand, it looks like, in the third series of the game, they've got the perfect play call. They've got a smash concept, which the receiver comes in motion, the tight end's to the left, the receiver, the X receiver, gets the corner to widen, safety's at 12 yards on the hash, you have a hitch by your outside receiver, and the tight end running a corner. It is simpleton football. And your quarterback sees that, doesn't throw the football to the tight end and all kind of green grass out there, runs out and takes a sack. And everybody can have bad days, and I get all that. But then we come back two series later, and the call, in my estimation, the call is an RPO. And I say it's my estimation because it's a trips left. There's all three receivers to the left run slants. The receiver to the right runs a hitch. You certainly would not run a play action, pull the ball, and have a route combination of a hitch and trip slants. To my estimation, that is an RPO. That is a run-pass option. Into a five-man box, four down linemen and one linebacker, you should hand that football because you've got numbers to block five on five. He does not hand the football. He pulls the football, throws the slot slant to C.D. Lamb that is picked for a pick six. I'm telling you, if you're honest with yourself and as you're grading this, that's a minus. Those are minuses. And when the minuses start being more than the pluses, or you're not accurate all the time with the football. On the other interception, they run an outside whip route. He throws it inside to Cooks, and the ball gets picked. Now we can sit and say, hey, you know, they tugged on his jersey. That ball, 100 out of 100 times, if it's Troy Aikman, he sticks the ball right in his face mask. The very first series that the Cowboys get the ball, they're down 7-0. He throws the slot slant front side to CD and misses him. Throws it too far out in front. The ball needs to be on your face mask. When you're making and you're looking at paying a guy that kind of money, you have to be able to make those throws. Am I hard on him? I'm hard on him. You're the quarterback of America's team. And unfortunately, my point of reference is Troy Aikman, a Hall of Famer. Is it fair? Not fair? We can sit here and cut that a lot of different ways.
before they could figure out what was going on, the football game was 27-0. Am I putting this on the quarterback? No, I'm not, because your defense allowed Green Bay to score on 6 or 7 possessions. We'll get to them in a minute. When you talk about the rest of the offense, when you look at how the offense played, I thought the offensive line did an okay job. I thought they picked up some stunts and did a decent job. I thought the backs ran the football okay. I thought Jake Ferguson is a hell of a tight end. He is a damn good tight end and somebody you can build on. CD, maybe the best receiver in the league. At times, he seems to be a little inconsistent. I hope that he continues to grow and mature. There are a lot of positives to draw from when you think about what Dallas did this year offensively. And all I continue to point out is, if you're going to make the quarterback the highest paid guy in the NFL, he needs to start playing like that. And I'm not talking about in games where you should win games. And by the way, you were a 7.5-point favorite tonight, and you got shellacked by a Green Bay team who came in here really undermanned, not very good in the secondary, decided to play cover two and dare you to run the football, and you didn't have the ability to do that against a playoff football team. You can say they snuck in the back door. You can cut it a lot of different ways. They got whipped tonight in every facet of the football game. And offense, you've got to be able to answer when they take the football and go 12 plays, 75 yards, and score. You've got to be able to answer. Dallas wasn't able to do that, and therefore, because of that, played behind and from behind the entire game. And well, I think it ended up hurting them in the long run, Matt.
And may end up, we shall see. I spent a lot of time with Jerry after the game. He wasn't ready to talk about a change, but he's going to have some soul-searching to do in the next few days. And, Stretch, we know there are some big names out there, including the Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, is a free agent head coach, and obviously Jerry has tremendous respect for him. We shall see. Now, that defense that you alluded to, Stretch, I think people would like to know from you what you saw that allowed a guy like Romeo Doubs, who, let's not act like is some kind of household name, he did have, coming to that game, 8 touchdowns this year. I didn't totally realize that. But they didn't cover him. And, in fact, that one time, one of those last ones, you know, they roll out, and it's just like nobody was in, like, 20 yards of him. What did you see? And part of it probably was, and I saw a little bit of this happening, they were dropping Parsons in coverage. It just seemed like all this stuff we brag on Dan Quinn for, just the defense was awful. But what was allowing that 87 to get wide open over and over and over again for 20 to 40 yard receptions?
Well, you know, initially, your initial look at it is to say, boy, you know, they left the middle of the field open. They didn't look very well coordinated from the linebacker level to the safety level. There were multiple times that he made late throws. I'm talking about Love made late throws off his back foot across the middle of the field. If you're coaching the quarterback, you are never late over the middle. And there were a couple of the first two throws that he made when he did that. I thought, okay, this ball is going to be picked. The ball is sitting in the air forever. I have given immense credit to Al Harris and to Dan Quinn for the job that they've done. When you think about this football team very early in the year losing DeMarvian Overshown, the draft pick out of Texas, losing Leighton Vander Esch, the Mike linebacker, it's a big hit. That's a big those are big names. That now, and they're good football players. Attrition is part of the game. And Dallas decided to say, okay, well, we think we're good enough, and we think we're going to be good enough on offense that we're going to score, get ahead, and people are going to have to throw the football. So we're going to use Bell, we're going to use Curse, we're going to use Hooker. We're going to use those guys down there in the box, and they're going to have to play some at linebacker. And if you're ahead in football games and people are having to throw the football, certainly you want safeties matched up against tight ends and backs. And so at times that's a very effective thing. Here's the flip side of that. And this is the feel I get. When you play Mike Shanahan tree guys, I'm saying guys that have come off of his coaching tree, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, they run the football at you. They come at you. And then they play action off of that, and they run deep overs and deep what it looks like multiple times they were going to run an over, and then he'd stick his foot in his ground and sail out, run a high angle seven. They were immensely successful at doing that. And I combine that with saying there were one critical third down situation starting the second half where they've got this third and five, and they've got the tight end outside, and Bland playing 8 yards off versus the tight end. There's no way you can be playing soft. They run a speed out and connect on it for 7 yards and move the chains. There's something that is a disconnect between the Shanahan group and how it plays Dan Quinn. And again, I've been very honest in giving those guys credit. He, Al Harris, for how they have coordinated the fact that they don't have but really one linebacker in Clark, and how they played their secondary connected with their linebackers. They got exposed today. They got whipped today. And in every part of what you saw defensively, whether it was run fills, whether it was how they played coverage, leverage they played cut, F, that's what you got to give the entire defense. You got to give it to them, and they're going to have to wear it. And unfortunately, it's the last game of the year where it's going to sting for a while. It's a stinger that's in you, and you're not going to be able to pull it out for a while. And as a Cowboy fan, I'm still a big Cowboy fan. I still want the Cowboys to win. It stings to watch what you saw tonight and how you saw this football team play. And I think it's something that the Jones families, I know how Mr. Jones works. I didn't think he was going to come out tonight and say much of anything. I think he's going to take a few days. He will talk to the head coach. And if he doesn't like he, Steven, Will McClay, if they don't like the response that they get, I mean, unfortunately, I think that, you know, you can see a change. I don't want to get into that because as a coach myself, you know, you never want to see guys lose their job. But when you look at how this football team played in this game, which was playing a seventh seed that snuck in the back door to get in the playoffs, they come into your home where you're 8-0 this year, I think 16-0 in the last 16 games, and you get your ass whipped, you're going to have to take a hard look at the situation.
Yep, and, you know, the fact that Belichick is out there makes it even more fascinating to see and what which direction Jerry will go. In the coming days, we can talk more about that. Stretch has to go jump on a TV set, and I bet he's got a really nice sport coat on this evening, and we'll watch him. Stretch, thank you, and our folks appreciate you, and boy, they start clamoring for what you're going to say during games. So thank you for all your great work this year. I hate that it's come to an end, But we'll be revved up, ready to go again next season, and then we'll probably be ready to roll if they hire a new coach or whatever. But Stretch, thank you. Thank you for all you've brought to us this season.
Well, and certainly, Noah, I appreciate our listeners. I appreciate Stephen Simcox for setting it up and all the things that, you know, we're able to put out there. And, again, I appreciate the listeners and appreciate the feedback. And, Mosley, I'm sorry it had to end on such a sour note, but it's not the end of the world. It's football. And, you know what, the one thing football teaches you, you pick yourself up off the ground, you dust yourself off, and you go try again. That's the great thing about this game. Have yourself a good night, partner.
There he goes. Glenn Stretch Smith off to do some TV, bringing insight. And, listen, some people think he's too hard on Dak, but then you see a performance like that, and I think it sort of lends even more credibility to maybe some of the things Stretch has noticed. I mean, Dak has so many defenders in the media, and they go out and they try to beat people up for saying anything negative. Well, I mean, I guess if you like, you know, seeing these playoff performances, it's a bad deal. It's a bad day for the Dallas Cowboys and their fans. It is time, though. This is a friend of Stretch, a friend of mine, Randy Hudson from the Hudson Financial Group. He's been a great part of this, been a great sponsor for us this season, and what a job they do for people that are, you know, basically life insurance, car, you know, auto insurance, home insurance, and then, you know, wealth advisors. If you want to protect, we want to have a plan for all your money. All that kind of thing. It is a one-stop shop, and they do a tremendous job. In fact, there's several former Rangers players that are with them, and it's kind of an amazing deal. But they also, the business owners and folks in North Dallas, all throughout North Texas, go to Hudson Financial Group, and you can find that there at HudsonFinancialGroup.com, and you can learn more. We appreciate them. All right, there it is. And thank you, Hudson Financial Group. And, Ed, I know we'll probably have an emergency podcast if they do fire McCarthy and go, you know, a different direction. Part of this will be something, Ed, you kind of hit on, because we've seen Jerry do this in the past. We've seen him make the different decisions to stay with a group, to move on. I mean, I can remember one Parcells year when they didn't make the playoffs, and we thought, you know, I remember seeing Sean Payton and asking him, hey, is everybody okay? You know, who's safe, who's not safe? Sean was safe. And then, of course, ended up getting the Saints job not long after. Zimmer was safe. I'm trying to think of all the guys who were safe. The offensive line coach at the time was not safe.
Hudson Houck?
No. This was pre-Hudson. This was my man George, George Warhop. He was an early Parcells guy. But anyway, it's always awkward because, you know, these next two or three days, or you never know with Jerry's timetable, there's just a lot of conversations. Steven will be involved. I'm sure maybe Will McClay will be involved. Will has decided to stay with the Cowboys for at least another season. That news coming in the past few days. But, I do think Ed, Mike, you know, that's one of the things that's one of the things Jerry said was like, hey, that was the last thing he kind of said to us tonight, was I thought I'd be talking to Mike tomorrow,
right,
about this win and, like, what we were going to do moving forward. Like, that's what Jerry was looking forward to. Now, he doesn't really have time to, like, well, let me sit around and see how this goes. He knows he would have to move pretty quickly, especially with some of these coaches out there. And, Ed, I would say the feeling of shock, the stunned, you know, just to lay an egg out there, I'm feeling like it's 50-50, and maybe I might say 60% that he's gone, that Mike McCarthy is gone. As we tape this in the aftermath of this, where are you with this? Are you at about 50-50, or are you like 60-40 that Mike stays?
Well, I went into the weekend feeling like there was no way that Jerry would make a coaching change. You know, I think if people just knew how comfortable Jerry is with Mike, you know, after they win and he sits around and drinks beers and they tell stories up in Jerry's suite, you know, Mike's a really good partner that way. I know that, you know, last week after the Washington game, when they clinched the number two seed in the division championship, and Jerry created headlines and doubt about McCarthy by the way he characterized his view of his work this season, you know, a lot of platitudes and praise, but ultimately then said something to the effect of, we're gonna see how it goes game by game in the playoffs. I know he actually felt, when that was brought to his attention, he actually called McCarthy and apologized for that. But I mean, we're talking about the only owner who ended his partnership with a guy who just won back-to-back Super Bowls in Jimmy Johnson. We're trying to predict how he's going to rationalize this and move forward. So I think that's a dangerous business, is trying to predict what Jerry Jones is going to do. I would be more inclined to believe McCarthy's in significant jeopardy now, that he wasn't before, and had they won this game. To what degree does Jerry still believe in him? Does he still feel like he can let Dan Quinn leave the organization if someone else wants to hire him? Does he still believe in DQ as an eventual head coach here, as he once did? I mean, he's paid him to stay on staff as a defensive coordinator, with the possibility existing he'd be the next head coach whenever McCarthy moved on. Are either of them preferable to Mike Vrabel or Jim Harbaugh or Bill Belichick? I mean, a lot, you know, people have been reporting there's a mystery team that has interest in Belichick but hasn't fired its coach yet because they're in the postseason. Would that be the Cowboys? Now, here's what I think about that. Jerry had Bill Parcells as his partner, so people say, well, that's proof that he would consider working with Bill Belichick. But I would say that Jerry hated his partnership with Parcells in the sense of, he didn't like the way he felt he had to tiptoe around the coach, around the football team. He didn't like that. He tolerated it because he needed Parcells to overturn the roster and create some talent and make this a competitive team. And Jerry was at the time distracted trying to get the stadium built and the funding from the public. But he was generally miserable and did not like the way he had to defer to Parcells and almost not be allowed to have engagement with his players the way he likes to. And I think the same would be true with Belichick, maybe even worse. And Belichick, you know, is he going to give up personnel? We just talked about, you know, Will McClay and the great job he's done, like the most recent draft notwithstanding, but done overall, I think, a great job in recent years. He intends, as you said, to stay on for another season. Is Belichick going to accept that? Or is Belichick going to want to run personnel? Is Jerry going to be willing to give it to somebody other than McClay? I just don't see Belichick being, and he's lost three of the last 4 years. So I don't know. I think the only thing McCarthy really has going for him at this point is just how great a season Dak had, but he had arguably his worst playoff, you know, game. So I don't know. He had multiple interceptions. He had the pick six, as you said. He just looked like he was focused in on his receivers and, you know, it was a very tense performance, I think, by the quarterback. And he himself said he sucked. So he's been harsher on himself than I have in the language I've used here.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would be inclined to expect a change, but maybe McCarthy can convince him to give him one more year, and like I said, maybe no extension, and let's see how it goes from here. But I don't know.
I don't know.
After what happened and the number of players whose contracts are up, I could see this team making going through a big makeover as well.
Yeah. Well, it was, again, we thought they had a great path to perhaps
a great
first
path.
NFC title game in 27 years. Yeah, but they went out and got embarrassed, and we also bought into, I think for good reason, this unbelievable mystique that had centered on how great they were at home. And, boy, yeah. Green Bay comes in, wants the ball, takes it down the field, and at that point I'm kind of like, whoa, okay, they've kind of served notice. And then the next touchdown, I'm like, oh goodness, okay, what's going on?
The 93 yard drive, right, when the Cowboys pinned them.
Yeah,
93 yard. I mean, in all honesty, if you would have put Green Bay jersey number 12 on Jordan Love today, I would have been convinced that was Aaron Rodgers we were watching.
He was awesome. You're right, and there were some throws that kind of looked like Aaron, the way he kind of whipped it, or kind of
flat-footed off his back foot.
Yeah, he did a little bit of that. Maybe that's from hanging out with Aaron.
Probably.
I mean, almost every Cowboys fan right now. I mean, and this is kind of sad, but this is a first-year quarterback they played against. And if you said, "Hey, would you swap out with Jordan Love?" I think everybody would be raising their hand. Yes. Would you swap out with Brock Purdy? Yes. And again, that's another layer to this, is that, I mean, these aren't – and I know it's not just the quarterback. I mean, there's other parts of the team. Like Purdy has great defense and all that and some great weapons. But still, when you go into these San Francisco games and Purdy outplays you, Jimmy G outplays you, in this case, Jordan Love out, it's a bad look. And I would say, how many of these seven playoff games, how many times has he looked good? He looked good against Green Bay in a losing effort. Let's say he looked good against Tom Brady and the Bucks in that
he
win.
Good against Seattle early in his career.
Yes. So three of the games he looked good. I guess I look back today, and I think he'd actually played okay in that game where they made the huge mistake and couldn't get the play off.
Yeah, the 49ers.
I think he played okay that day, like threw for like 255 or something and a couple of touches. But anyway, it's really right now all I can think about is Jordan Love walking into that stadium and just racing up and down the field. I mean, their running back from UTEP was great. Their receiver Nevada, Dobbs. Yeah, Aaron Jones.
Romeo Dobbs. Dobbs.
They were great. And again, I was thinking like Robert Brooks. I was like who is this guy? And I looked it up, Ed, and he had 8 touchdowns this year. But I mean, I just can't say that I sat there. I just didn't even. It's just amazing because one year didn't Christian Watson put it on him?
Last year in Lambeau, Christian Watson scored 3 touchdowns against the Cowboys with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. So but, anyway.
Yeah, it was, and you're right. He beat Tom Brady, but he's beat Russell Wilson, but he's lost him some less than illustrious opposing quarterbacks, and now at 2-5 in his career in the postseason, only Don Meredith has a worse playoff winning percentage among Cowboys quarterbacks with 3 or more starts than Tony Romo. He went 1-3. Dak is 2-5. Romo was 2-4. Danny White was 5-5. And the other two guys won Super Bowls and are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Let's just make a promise the next season. We'll do the podcast and we'll have fun. And we'll go to all the games. I mean, but let's just not get caught up in like believing that there might be a path.
Don't you think it's going to take a lot now for the public, the fans, to ever have you know, yes. real faith in this franchise again after what we've seen the last 3 years?
Yeah, absolutely. And if they try to run it back, it's just going to be like, ugh. I mean, it's just like, no, like, think about that announcement. If Jerry, you know, slips that out to you and you break the news, the Cowboys have decided to retain, you know, Mike McCarthy, and he will ride forward with Dak. Like, just right. a collective, just like, ugh.
Well, you know, when the game kicked off, my first tweet was, okay, now we're to the point in the season where we all knew we would judge the Cowboys. And so we all knew we wouldn't, you know, presume them to be a success based on what they did in the regular season. It was all about the postseason. And that being the case, and Jerry did say after the game he does give that more weight than the regular season, then that's why we should suspect that there could be a coaching change.
And the one name we didn't bring up is the fact that, you know, Pete Carroll may not be done either. I mean, let's not, you know, let's put him in the mix as well. I like that. And somebody was saying Saban. Let's just get a bunch of 70-year-old candidates.
I guarantee you Jerry would love Pete. If you ever met him, he'd love him. And he's probably met him before, but, I mean, if he interviewed him for the coaching job, you could fall in love with Pete Carroll for sure.
Yeah, you know who he fell in love with from the Seahawks. Of course he used to be at Green Bay, but Jerry worshiped Mike Holmgren, and I forget right. how that happened really, but he did back in the day. So I think, you know, sometimes there's just for some reason Jerry, gets these great friendships. I don't know where he is on Belichick. I think there's tremendous respect. I feel like the Kraft and Jones relationship has been up and down, although Belichick, as Stephen told us on the Doomsday podcast, you know, Belichick called Stephen directly, you know, to find out about Zeke Elliott. You remember that? So I do think there is a relationship in place there. But to your point, does Jerry want to go back to being miserable because Bill – I mean, he's like the other Bill in a lot of ways. I mean,
I think the atmosphere at the Star, the engagement between the players and the coach would be completely different than what McCarthy's created out there. And some people might say, well, that'd be good for them. That's what they deserve. That's what they need. I don't know. Not so sure about that.
Well, they got Wade after Bill, and that, you know, and that was like happy times are here again. I don't, you know, Mike's fine. I mean, again, I think what they need to do is create a first time ever, let Mike be the regular season coach and then have a postseason coach that takes over.
Good idea. Kind of like Dan Reeves when he shuttled starting quarterbacks back and forth to the huddle.
All right, Ed, tremendous work. You've been at it since 8 a.m. By my clock, it is now 11:07. So that is, that's a day right there. That is 15, 16 hours. So why don't you have a meal, and then we'll reconnect if the Cowboys fire anybody or something like that.
I'll be spending some time this week at the Star.
Yeah. Rest up tonight, and then you'll be right in the middle of it. Thank you, Ed. Great job as always, and appreciate you, and of course Stephen Simcox stepping in. And Ed, I do think one last time this year, we our thoughts are with the Frito's family as well. Mark Frito Friedman, right. Our longtime producer, who we tragically. Lost on a Sunday night when we were taping a podcast, and Mark passed away, and so anyway, tough time, tough season in that respect for sure. All right, it is the Doomsday Podcast for Stephen Simcox and Ed Werder. I'm Matt Mosley. Good night to all, and thanks for listening.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's.
From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Your Space Coast vacation is preparing for liftoff. Start counting down now. 10, 9, 8, 7. It's time for a beach vacay that feels like heaven. 6, 5, 4. Come explore Melbourne and the beaches. 3, 2, 1. It's time for some rocket-filled fun. Count down to your best beach vacation ever on Florida's Space Coast. Launch your planning now at visitspacecoast.com.